C1C. Number 11A.
So, we have seen that that fifth tone is all about that fatherhood sense. We perhaps read together our epitomes. The title with bold letters is Man Reflects the Idea of Fatherhood, but How? By raising thought to the contemplation of creation as idea, which means that in the process of contemplating thought, we have to contemplate being to the point where we free ourselves of all mortal thoughts, of mortal connotations, to the point where we see that creation is just idea, to the contemplation of creation as idea, which actually means what? That we arrive here again at the beginning of the chapter, to the point of mind, because the first part of mind has said creation is the idea of mind. But now we do not just state that the creation is the idea of mind. Now in life we say we have to drop all those thoughts that stand in between idea and us and the mortal thought, so that finally we entertain within ourselves only that which mind has created at the beginning of the chapter. But then it is subjective, then it is our being. And I come to the point where I begin to find creation as my being. Yeah? How does she say that? How does she say what the steps are? The steps are fourfold. First, we start there where our models of thought must be immortal ideas. Instead of mortal thoughts, they must be immortal ideas. It is that point where she said that mind transmits ideas to thought. So our models here first must be ideas. Second, we have mortal thoughts must therefore give way to the perfect model of ideas. And so we have to see, we can't carry along the wrong ones. We have somehow make a decision that we exchange the wrong model for the right model. Third, when we come to the third, turning our thoughts away from the body to the contemplation of reality supernal, that's her rendering, we experience the true and the good. We can see that if we actually make that step, and you can get a very good sense of practice, of practical Christianity, if we actually do that and consecrate ourselves to the true ideal, we will experience the good and the true. Then we have a fourth one, namely putting off the mortal concepts and rising to the immortal idea. What happens? Man reaches the absolute center and circumference of his being. He's no more outside. There's no more a question of cause leading to effect, of a right cause leading to a right effect. Now he reaches really the beingness of his consciousness and sees that he actually has fathered himself to the point where he sees his true beingness. These are the four steps in life, and they can be described in two ways, either as word, Christ, Christianity, or science, which here in this connotation seems to be more understandable, because the first step is that we must establish the Word of God in our consciousness as the true ideal, the Word of God, what is God. In order to have a true ideal, we take God through the definition of God, the Word sense. Then we have seen as a second step, there is the necessity of the Christ impact that forces us to exchange the wrong for the right. Then you have a Christianity impact which says, therefore, use the right, make the best of it, consecrate yourself to it, and you have a sense of practicing the right, which is Christianity, in order that we arrive at the fourth side of the Holy City, science, where we always have a sense of beingness, where we are what we are. You were wondering why now suddenly I would mention Word, Christ, Christianity and science and not really symbolize it through the synonymous terms. And actually, naturally, you could do it. You could symbolize it, life as mind and spirit and soul and principle. But it doesn't have the same impact. And in order to explain those two ways, I would have to refer you to John Dorley's verbatim reports on the days of creation, that is volume 1, where he explains in a big volume the first 7 days of creation, and where he explains at the point of life and the fifth day of creation, that the fifth day of creation has 4 subtones. And there he explains too how you can look at those first, at those 4 subtones, either from the point of view of mind, spirit, soul, principle, or from the point of view of Word, Christ, Christianity and science. And it is a question that I can't explain here at length. It's a question of that refers really to the whole system of Christian science, and this is not the occasion to explain that. But you, I just give you a hint. And that hint is that the clue for it is the following, that with the fifth day of creation, you get into a kind of a difficulty insofar as the fifth day of creation is the day of life. We call the fifth day the day of life, don't we? And life is without beginning and end. Life has no time sense in it. But the days of creation present creation as a time sense, as a sequence. God said, let there be, and this was the first day, and then God said, let there be, and then was the second day, and God said, let there be, and then was the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day, and the seventh day, and therefore presents really a sequence, a line of development, the law of creativity, the process of creativity, which follows therefore a time sense. But life, the fifth day, says there is no time. Life, from a higher standpoint, is timeless. Therefore, at that point of the fifth day of creation, one has to solve the question, how days of creation that are happening in time, in sequence, let's say in sequence, in an ordered sequence, how they are actually happening spontaneously at the same time. Being has no time, being has no past, no future. Everything happens at the point of isness. And therefore, in interpreting that fifth day, Mr. Tholis shows there something that is not always really clearly conceived, that in the fifth day, the days of creation become numerals of infinity. That is the point where Mrs. Eddy explains it and says in the exegesis of the days of creation, she says there, the numerals of infinity, numerals of infinity have no time sense. The infinite has no time sense. The numeral doesn't start and end. The numerals of infinity called 7 days. 7 days. You see, that's the contradiction in one way. Can never be reckoned according to the calendar of time. The moment you have no time sense in it, no calendar of time in it, no sequence sense in it, then they are numerals of infinity. There is no sense of it. These days will appear as mortality disappears, and they will reveal eternity, the newness of life. You see, if you have the whole tone of life coming up, these numerals of infinity are at the point of life without any time sense in it, in which all sense of error forever disappears and thought accepts the divine infinite calculus. So without going further into this subject, because it really doesn't come in here, the explanation shows that the moment we consider being from the point of view of isness, then life shows itself as Word, Christ, Christianity and science, whereas if we consider life somewhere in a subject where life is giving us is a part of a creative sequence, a creative sequence, then we can explain life through mind, spirit, soul, principle. Here, in this chapter, we can see that she does not show creation as a creative sequence. Because she has shown mind and says creation is the infinite idea. There was no creative sequence in it, showing that spirit is the substance of that creation. She didn't show how mind unfolded through spirit, and that spirit unfolds that creation. That term of unfoldment, that the meaning of unfoldment didn't enter in spirit. She just said that isness of being, ideas, is the substance of being. You see, no creative sense in it. And so in soul also, it wasn't that she would say, like in the days of creation, in the third day, that if you have the first day and the second day, that unfolds to the point of identity. And identity gathers its nature, that the identity appears. That third day is all about appearing of the identity. Here in the chapter Creation, soul never said, then your identity will appear. Just say that it is there and that identity is not limited. So can you see that the presentation here of the chapter Creation is presenting creation not as a creative act, as a creativity where from an initial little idea that has been sown somewhere, that idea begins now to unfold and evolve through spirit and then in soul gathers its identity, and the identity appears and reappears and reproduces itself. This is not in this chapter. That chapter is presented really as numerals of infinity and not as days of creation. And therefore, one feels much more in the tone of life that she presents life as numerals of infinity and not as the days of creation. Therefore, we have a much clearer sense in here, life first from the point of view of the word, you see, stating being is created as idea, full stop. Then you have the Christ impact that says you have to exchange the false ideal for the right ideal, full stop. Then comes Christianity and says, therefore, get away from the old ideal and fix yourself and bind yourself and identify yourself completely with that which is. And then in science, the fourth step shows you that then you see that you are really the center and circumference of your own being. Nothing is going to become. It's not the becoming process that is shown here, but the isness sense of it. Can you say the becoming process? Does that convey something? Yes. So that's the reason for having here the subtones through the four. Actually, if you consider it actually as a process, I could easily show it to you as life, as mind and spirit and soul and principle. I would just have to say to you, you see what she said in the first point, life as mind is that creation consists of ideas of mind. In spirit, that therefore you have to make a separation. You see, that you must separate the wrong ideal from the right ideal. And in life as soul, you must say, I identify myself with the right ideal. You see? And then I could show life as principle and say, you see, this creation of mind is your principle, and you are the idea of this principle. You are being. You could also say that. But then it has a creative sense in it and not so much the beingness sense in it. This leads us on to the next big tone of truth. And as we already know a little bit what will be in this tone, namely that she will show us the sonship sense of truth, that truth shows us that man reflects the idea of sonship. And if we ask, what does that mean? I said, well, that means that he is claiming the true creation as idea for himself and for others. That's sonshipping man. So it isn't God as son that is presented here. That would be the word. It is not God as the sonship of God, which would be the Christ, giving us really a sense of man. What is shown here is that man claims for himself his sonship. And when man claims for himself his sonship, then he reflects sonship, and he does that by saying, I am the heir of God, and therefore I claim for myself what? And then you get the answer. I claim for myself mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love as idea. Then I have the sonship of man. And what is shown here is now this process of claiming for ourselves our true nature as man. So, perhaps I can read now a bit quicker. We are now getting into the rhythm of it, I think you get acquainted already with the tone. You already see, as a side note here, mind, the only cause, and you see right away here she must speak about truth as mind being the cause of men. Yes, she says, I read, the foundation of mortal discord is a false sense of man's origin. See, man has a false sense of his origin. So he has to, if he wants to accept his true manhood, he naturally has to have a right sense of his origin. That would be the very first point to acknowledge our manhood. So to begin rightly is to end rightly. Yes, all right. Again, you can say, well, this is just showing again cause and effect. Yes, but now it is an appeal which says, now begin right, so that you can end right. Every concept which seems to begin with the brain begins falsely. Can you see? She now is not depicting that law of the fatherhood which says, a wrong cause brings you to a wrong effect. You see, that would be life, the fatherhood sense. If you start out wrongly, then you have a wrong effect. What she wants to bring out here is that she now says, the question now is here, begin right, don't begin wrong. Yes? So its accentuation is now on right and wrong beginning. So every concept which seems to begin with the brain, that's the beginning, the origin, and now says this is false. And therefore corrects it and says, divine mind is the only cause or principle of existence. As if she would say, to begin rightly is to begin with the divine mind. Cause does not exist in matter, in mortal mind, or in physical forms. So she depicts what would be the wrong cause, that mind as cause is not in matter, is not in mortal mind, is not in physical forms. So these are just side remarks, because the main idea that she wants to bring home, where do you begin? What is the right beginning? Begin right. What means to begin right? Begin with mind. Then you have your true origin of yourself. Yeah? So we begin right. We come from the divine mind. So this would be truth's mind. We go on, mortals are egotists. Huh, I never knew that. They believe themselves to be independent workers. That's really the egotists. That they say, I'm independent of principle. I don't need a cause. Personal authors, and even privileged originators of something which deity would not or could not create. We get the real sense that man thinks that he is the cause of all. He is the cause of all. So actually, to this point, one wouldn't really feel very much that she has changed the tonality. It's still saying, well, what is the cause? Is divine mind the cause? Or is something else the cause? Do you think you are the cause, that you can create and originate what you like, and that you can do it better than dear God Almighty is anyway not good enough, but you are a really a big shot. You can do it, you see. So it's still on that tone, because sometimes you have just to take over that sense, but then comes the point and says, the creations of mortal mind are material. So if we begin with that sense that I am the cause, the origin of creation, then I begin with a material cause and not with a spiritual cause. That's the point now. So that our cause is spiritual. Immortal, spiritual man alone represents the truth of creation. Man, what is man? What is the truth of creation? Spiritual man. Why on earth did she say immortal, spiritual man? Why didn't she say immortal man? Why does she have to bring in spiritual? Because she would drop the tonality. If she only would have said immortal man alone represents the truth of creation, she would have blurred the tonality, because it would have indicated something else. She had to bring in spiritual man, because that's the tone, that the creations of mortal mind are material, therefore the creation of divine mind must be spiritual. No matter if they are immortal or true or right or harmonious, but at least they are spiritual, because that's the cause. When mortal man blends his thought of existence, you know, when one has tonality, one just hears soul. Though in your list of ideas, perhaps on the soul, you don't have the word blend. I don't think you have it, huh? Doesn't matter, huh? Doesn't matter. But the tonality is, what means blend with the spiritual? To be identified with the spiritual, to be exactly like the spiritual, to be in congruency with the spiritual, to be in coincidence with the spiritual. You see? Identical with the spiritual. So we don't always have to use the same old terms all over again and again. We have a great variation in language. We can use language very warm and very flexible, and this is a way to put it out. When mortal man blends his thought of existence with the spiritual and works only as God works, you see the identity of operation? The same as God. He will no longer grope in the dark and cling to earth because he has not tasted heaven. Apparently, he says, you see, man finds his heaven when he identifies himself with the spiritual, when he blends with his thoughts, with his feelings, with his actions, with everything he has, blends with the true, then he has heaven. And then he cannot say anymore, I have never tasted heaven. Only carnal beliefs defraud us. The moment you have defrauding, you know, just rings, huh? This is the counterfeit of soul, because soul is sinless. All that opposite of that sinless soul, like malice, fraud, maliciousness, traitor, betraying, all that are counterfeits of soul. And so she says, carnal beliefs defraud us. They don't bring us heaven.